A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our Zoom service. Welcome to be worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while, and to remind the congregation that I am still doing my daily Lenten reflections. We are now on the 28th day in the Lenten journey, 12 more days to go. So please check the website of the church for reflections. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with a harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Our first hymn this morning is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Let us pray. Lord God, Holy Father, you made your only Son to be the true high priest and mediator of his people. Grant that we may accept his eternal sacrifice offered once and for all with faithful hearts, and that we may always be comforted by his unceasing intercession. God, our Father, your Son Jesus Christ denied himself and became a servant, obedient unto death, even death on a cross. But we are so unwilling to put others first, so unwilling to give or to suffer. We are often proud and selfish. We wish to be seen and honored by men and women, but forget you and your judgment. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate this service joyfully. and praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to praise him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the word of grace. Since we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us when we need it. Our next theme, let the living waters flow.
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Every situation that has troubled my mind, all my cares and burdens onto you I roll. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come now, Holy Spirit, and take control. Hold me in your loving arms and make me wipe away all doubt and fear and take my pride. Draw me to your love and keep me by your side. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Give your life to Jesus, let him fill your soul. Let him take you in his arms and make you whole. As you give your life to him, he'll set you free. You will live and reign with him eternally. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Every situation that has troubled my mind, all my cares and burdens onto you I roll. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Our first reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verses 11 to 18. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. The second reading is taken from Lamentations chapter 3. We're reading verses 1 to 8, and then we're reading verses 14 to 24. So Lamentations chapter 3, 1 to 8. "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer." And from verse 14, "I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mock me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." Amen, and may God add his blessing to these readings of his holy word. Let's join together singing the next hymn, "Rescue the Perishing."
Rescue the perishing, care for the snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We pour the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with him earnestly, plead with him gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Human heart crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. of perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for your labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Till the poor wanderer, a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Let us pray. Let your gospel, O Lord, come to us, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, that with humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, we may receive what you have revealed through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. In 1858, the Illinois legislature, using an obscure statute, sent Stephen Douglas to the U.S. Senate instead of Abraham Lincoln. Although Lincoln had won the popular vote, when a sympathetic friend asked Lincoln how he felt, he said, "Like the boy who stubbed his toe, I am too big to cry and too badly hurt to laugh. I am too big to cry and too badly hurt to laugh." I suspect that behind that comment from Abraham Lincoln was not just a sense of his ability to surmount obstacles in his life and career, but a certain confidence in a higher power, even supernatural power, capable of profiling him to the world stage despite human barriers. Abraham Lincoln would become the 16th president of the United States from 1861 until his assassination in 1865. He was determined and resilient. Howbeit, disappointment, disillusionment, disenchantment, disgruntlement, and inconsolable, all those words and many more describe our attitude to failure, or when we are downcast for one reason or the other. And often Christian people take it on themselves that we suffer because we've done something wrong for which God has punished us. Lamentations 3:1, I am one who knows what it is to be punished by God. He drove me deeper and deeper into darkness and beat me again and again with merciless blows. He has shut me in a prison of misery and anguish. But there is a bigger picture or context of the book of Lamentations which would help us understand our text better. The book of Lamentations is an anonymous ancient lament which has been attributed by Jewish and Christian traditions to the prophet Jeremiah. It was written in the year 587 BC. After the destruction of Jerusalem. In the early chapters 1 and 2, the author describes the scenario in Jerusalem after the Babylonian army had finished their desecration of the land. The city has been captured and devastated. The city walls are torn down. The streets are empty, having been deserted by the people. And everything seems to be in ruins. Most of the inhabitants have been taken into exile, and only a handful of survivors are in the land. But they too are now destitute. The city is likened to a widow who has lost her husband and her children. She is forsaken, friendless, defenseless, helpless, comfortless, and hopeless. In the midst of all this, it seems the Lord too has forsaken her. Even God's dwelling is in ruins. The temple of Jerusalem has been desecrated and ravished by people who do not know God. The enemies of Israel mock them in their desolation and destitution, and they cry out, "Is this the city which was called the perfection of beauty?" The judgment of God has fallen on his people. "Is this nothing to you, O you who pass by? Behold, see, is there any sorrow like my sorrow, which the Lord has afflicted upon me in the day of his anger?" It is a poetry that alternates between the realistic and figurative depictions of the horrors of war, deprivation, starvation, and fear. Dear friends, I think most of us would understand the pain of the writer because of the frequent bad news we get from around the world and our own personal experiences. Those living in war-torn and ravaged countries like Syria, Central African Republic, and the Anglophone regions of Cameroon know the meaning of destitution, desolation, and deprivation. Women, men, and children who have been displaced from their homes to seek out a new life in strange and unfamiliar territories, sometimes in the enemy's camp. Their houses have been smashed to the ground and are in ruins, and they have lost everything. They cry like Jeremiah, "Is this nothing to you, O you who pass by? Behold, see, is there any sorrow like my sorrow, which the Lord has afflicted upon me in the day of his anger?" The first two chapters of Lamentations, the author writes mainly as Jerusalem personified. In chapter 3, which is our text, he begins to write as the voice of an individual sufferer. The sufferings of the people of Judah are described as though one man had experienced them. "I am one who knows what it is to be punished by God. He has forced me to live in the stagnant darkness of death. I cry aloud for help, but God refuses to answer." But he was not the only one going through pain and suffering. Many others had seen affliction, and they knew that it came as God's discipline, the rod of his wrath. If Jeremiah the prophet wrote this book, then this is a record of his feelings, or a personification in an otherwise unknown individual, or the nation's tragic sufferings. "I am the one who knows what it is to be punished by God." However, I think Jeremiah's personal lament is a reminder to all of us that suffering is always personal. When nations go through times of tragedy and tribulation, the greatest suffering always takes place at the individual level. Think of the current devastating health crisis. As the world struggles to contain a rapidly spreading pandemic, hundreds of thousands of people are fighting for their lives, and the global economy is in danger of lurching to a halt, putting billions of livelihoods in danger. The COVID-19 pandemic is the biggest health crisis for generations. The measures governments have taken to limit the spread of the virus, including restrictions on movement and the closure of schools to most students, have been necessary to save lives. However, what happens now will have a lasting impact on young people's mental health for years to come, whether that's because of traumatic experiences at home, the pressures of isolation, or a breakdown in the support that gives them hope. From that example, we see how a national or world tragedy can affect the lives of individual people. So we know what it means to suffer, to be destitute, and to be afraid of the circumstances around us. But in the middle of lamentations, there comes a relaxing, glorious change. After recounting his woes and tribulations, the prophet bursts out in ecstatic praise. Chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. In other words, I remember God says he will never leave me alone. So I have hope. Friends, we need to understand that nothing had changed around the prophet. The city was still in ruins. There was desolation and abandonment, and the streets were still empty. Within too, there were doubts and fears. His soul was restless and bereft of peace. But what changed is that he remembered God. He remembered the covenant and character of God and his faithfulness. The covenant God first made with Abraham 4,000 years ago, and then renewed it through Jesus Christ on the cross. In that covenant, God says, I will be your God and you shall be my people. I will put my spirit within you. I will write my law in your heart. I will remember your sins no more. I will never leave you alone. I will never, never forsake you. Behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. But this I call to mind. I don't know about the particular problem that you have in your life, but I suspect many of us have similar feelings like the prophet Jeremiah. I am one who knows what it means to be punished by God. He drove me deeper and deeper into darkness and beat me again and again with merciless blows. But I'm not sure your suffering is necessarily because you've done something wrong and God has punished you. It may be that you are going through purifying fire. As Elizabeth Elliot commented, our vision is so limited, we can hardly imagine a love that does not show itself in protection from suffering. The love of God did not protect his own son. He will not necessarily protect us, not from anything it takes to make us like his son. A lot of hammering and chiseling and purifying by fire will have to go into the process. Wonderful ideas. So what is the problem that you are struggling with today, friend? Is it some kind of moral failure that strikes you and your heart is bowed down with guilt and shame? Maybe for somebody here, it is sickness, even the COVID-19. Or maybe you've not received good news from the doctors about your health, and you are depressed and disillusioned. Cheer up, brother, sister. You need to call this to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Or are you struggling with bereavement? You lost a loved one or a friend so dear, and you are confused about the situation. For some, it may be the loss of their job and they have been made redundant. Or disappointment that you have been jilted in a love affair and your hopes have been dashed to the ground. Whatever your calamity, trial, and tribulation, you feel like you've been beaten again and again with merciless blows. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Does that encourage somebody today? And no matter how long our sufferings and tragedies continue in this life, they can never be compared with the glory that awaits us in heaven. That is why Martin Luther King Jr. suggested that if we consider the greatness and the glory of the life we shall have when we have risen from the dead, it would not be difficult at all for us to bear the concerns of this world. If I believe the word, I shall on the last day, after the sentence has been pronounced, not only gladly have suffered ordinary temptations, insults and imprisonment, but I shall also say, oh, that I did not throw myself under the feet of all the godless for the sake of the great glory which I now see revealed and which has come to me through the merit of Christ. And this I call to mind, and I have hope. God's love is not passive towards us. Instead, it calls us to repentance and gives us assurance that we are never forsaken. And this I call to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, many times we are overwhelmed by the challenges of this life, and we fail to remember that you are there to hold us in your hands and to give us the hope that we need. Thank you for reminding us through your word. Let your blessings continue to be with us, and let us trust you with our problems, knowing that you will do what you would do. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, our next hymn.
Jesus speaks to me. Save us.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us thank God for ourselves and for others. Oh God, you do not need to be enriched with any of our gifts which we bring, yet you love a cheerful giver. Receive our offerings which we present before you, and with them ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. Faithful God, Lord of heaven and earth, receive the intercessions which we make in the name of our great high priest, the Redeemer. Remember your church throughout the world and keep it in the truth of your word and in obedience to your will. Bless your people everywhere and accept the worship they offer to you. Make your church one and fill it with your spirit, that by your power it may unite the world in a brotherhood of nations, in which justice, mercy, and faith, truth, and freedom will reign, and in which you will be glorified. Almighty God, you rule over all. We pray for our country, the United Kingdom. Grant wisdom to the Queen, to the Prime Minister, the First Minister of Scotland, and all others in authority over us, that truth and justice, happiness and peace may flourish among us. God our Father, we commend to your loving care all who are joined to us by the ties of relationship, friendship, and love. Keep them unharmed, and let your merciful blessing ever rest upon them. We pray especially for our family members who are not around us, wherever they may be. Reach out to them, O Father, and bless them. O God, you are present everywhere, and your mercy does not fail us. Graciously look upon all who are in trouble or danger, especially those known to us, whom we name in our hearts before you. Guide those who are in doubt, defend those who have been wronged, bring back the lost, heal the sick, befriend the lonely, comfort those in sorrow, and receive the dying to your eternal rests. Eternal God, receive our thanksgiving for those who have loved and served you and are now at rest with you. And grant that we, following their good example, may at the last enter with them into the fullness of your endless joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory and praise forever and ever. Amen.
Our next hymn will be He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought.
Sometimes where Eden's flowers bloom.
We will now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, with all things well.
All the way my Savior leads me, chooses one.
In peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.